2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Week 14 waiver wire from DFS Army. I am season long says at Alan Seslowski on Twitter, and you made it. You made it into your fantasy playoffs, and you're still listening to the podcast. That is amazing. We finally got rid of all those losers who didn't make their fantasy playoffs. We got rid of them. And if you're still listening to this podcast, you're listening to a waiver wire podcast when you haven't even made the playoffs. You know what? I'll give props to you for that. That's amazing if you haven't done that. I mean, who listens to a waiver wire podcast when you haven't even made the playoffs? But a lot of us are in leagues where the playoffs start in week 14. Some of us are in consolation, and some of us don't even have the playoffs till next week. But either way, this is a very important waiver wire week. Congratulations again on those of you who made it through, all you DFS Army members who have crushed your leagues, and some of those who we gave bad advice to. Better luck next year. What were you doing listening to us anyway? You know, what the heck's wrong with you? Anyway, without further ado, there's some really interesting pickups on the waiver wire this week. And most notably, a player that we've been touting, I mean, not to drop or pick up every week is Alexander Mattison, the running back on the Minnesota Vikings. And last night in the Monday night game, Dalvin Cook looked like he had gone down. He was out of the game. There's been some post-game optimism by Dalvin saying that he's going to be back next week, but players are always overly optimistic when they have injuries. And I heard Dr. David Chow on Sirius Radio today talking about how it looks more like a sprained chest. I'm just looking it up while I'm talking to you, of what his analysis was. And it's not something that he's probably going to be in pain for the rest of the season, Dalvin Cook, but he wouldn't be surprised, was his analysis, if he misses the game. I think they play the Lions this week, and then they're going to be in an obvious must-win game against Green Bay the following week. Alexander Mattison needs to be picked up. He's hopefully rostered by every single person already in the DFS Army. If you have a priority, any fab left, anything, just two hands on Alexander Mattison, pull him towards your team. And even if you don't need him, take him anyway. You want to play virtual defense and you want to stop your opponents from getting him. And that's going to be a common theme that you hear today, is stop your opponents from getting other players that are on the waiver wire. All right. So Alexander Mattison needs to be owned. He's probably going to be ranked as a top seven running back if Dalvin Cook doesn't play. And you know what? Even if Dalvin Cook plays, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy pulls like a James Conner or an Adam Thielen, where he plays a couple plays and then comes out. Alexander Mattison needs to be rostered. I think we've said enough on that. Okay. In some leagues, you need to make all your pickups now for the rest of the playoffs. I don't recommend being in leagues like that. I'm in a couple like that where you can't make any pickups for week four going into 15 and 16. So, but someone that I think that may not have immediate value as of today, but looks like Benny Snell is a must own heading into the fantasy playoffs on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Benny Snell has looked the part. He is he's been productive. I'm just pulling up his profile now. In PPR, the last couple weeks, he's gotten you about 11 to 12 points, in some leagues 13. Scored a touchdown last week. James Conner, the Pittsburgh Steelers lead running back. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on IR. Now, I don't have any information saying that, and he could start next week, and Benny Snell could seem like he's going to be useless. But I have no confidence starting James Conner, and even thinking he's going to finish the game at this point. So my recommendation is certainly pick up Benny Snell. He likely will be useful in the fantasy playoffs. He may not be able to startable right away week one, but he's one of those guys where if you don't pick him up now in the waiver run and he's on your waiver wire for any reason, there's a chance by Sunday you're going to wish you had him. Right now, he's only about 25% owned. So there is a decent chance that he is unowned in your league. Benny Snell will be my number two pickup. Number three pickup, Darwin Thompson. I mean, in the beginning of the year, you probably drafted him or someone in your league did. He was dropped. You probably had him on your roster at some point and dropped him. I picked him up and dropped him two or three times myself. Darwin Thompson, he got in the game last week and he looked good. Darrell Williams and Damian Williams, both are injured, looking unlikely to play. And then there's 31-year-old LeSean McCoy, who looks like he's pretty much toast. I mean, he can still be an effective goal line back, but Darwin Thompson's the one with the juice in his legs. He's been rested all season long. So I think that there's a good chance that Darwin Thompson is that guy. Every year there's that guy that wins you your fantasy playoffs. That you pick him up. Last year it was Damian Williams. He looked pretty good to me. And as far as long-term, I'm not sure about Darwin Williams because I think the Chiefs are a great bet to draft one of these 2020 running backs. But Darwin Thompson, I don't know, did I say Darwin Williams? Oh, it's Darrell Williams. But Darwin Thompson's the guy you want to pick up. And certainly I think that he might fall under the radar a little bit. I mean, obviously any of these guys, you're going to go two hands in and try to get them. But Darwin Thompson, certainly an intriguing option. And if you want to prioritize him over Benny Snell, I wouldn't mind that either. The Chiefs backfield was someone that we thought in the beginning of the season was just going to be fantasy gold. It hasn't been. It's been a guessing game from week to week. It's been somewhat useful in certain weeks, but I have a feeling, and you know, it's just based on what I saw last week from Darwin Thompson, that he could be that guy. All right, so those are the three main ones for the running backs: Mattinson on the Vikings, Benny Snell on Pittsburgh, and Darwin Thompson on KC. Some other running backs that I'm interested in is: did anyone watch the 49ers game? Oh, man, Raheem Mostert, he's so fast. I mean, he is. You've heard this a million times if you're addicted to Twitter like I am, but Raheem Mostert was a track star, not just he was like one of the best track athletes in all Purdue when he was there. I mean, it is no wonder why he is one of the fastest athletes on the field. And he was like the fifth running back on the depth chart when the season started. I mean, you had Tevin Coleman, you had Jerick McKinnon when he was healthy. Who else was there? Matt Breida. I mean, Jeff Wilson was there. And then you have Mostert. So he was either fourth or fifth on the depth chart. But he's looking like a real option for him, for your fantasy team. I would roster him. I actually was forced into playing him last week accidentally. I was mad that I did it. And then the results came in. I looked like a genius. But I'm admitting to all of you that are listening to me that it was actually a mistake. I meant to swap him out and didn't hit save. A careless error that turned in my favor the rare time. All right, so I would add Mostert as well. I think that he has some legs for the playoffs. And this is the time of year, everyone, you want to handcuff, okay? So your roster construction is going to be very different than it was in the beginning of the year. You know all the great handcuffs. I mean, you're going to have, even Peyton Barber, I was going to say, is someone that you want to throw on your bench. I have no trust or no confidence to use him. It could be a Ronald Jones week next week. But Tony Pollard, Gus Edwards on Baltimore, these are guys that you want to put on your roster in case that you need your run. Even if you don't have the primary back, it's a great idea to roster him. All right. So we've been talking about Patrick Laird of the Miami Dolphins for a couple weeks on this podcast, and we got it wrong 2 weeks ago, and then it became the right answer last week. But the problem is that if you had him, you either dropped him or he was on your bench. And I feel a little gypped because we were touting him on this podcast and we had the right answer. And I just feel like we got totally screwed by irrational coaching because they were still playing Kalen Ballage in that game where Patrick Laird scored two PPR points. And then last week they gave him a shot and he blew up, and you know, he had like 15 or 18 fantasy points. He's someone I'm certainly interested in PPR leagues. I know he became like a meme joke on Twitter, Patrick Laird, but I never understood that. I guess that was a reaction to the overreaction that Patrick Laird was going to be this league winner type. And we don't often use the term league winner because, you know, it's Patrick Laird's not going to win you your league. But going back to that, Alexander Mattison, someone that could win you your league. So I like Patrick Laird in PPR leagues. He certainly he got the work last week. And if you're desperate at running back, like some of us are, even if we've made the playoffs, he's a live play this week. So that rounds out our running backs. Let's move over to the wide receiver position. All right, I'm pulling up my list right here, and I'll post these on the DFS Army site either tonight or tomorrow. I just wanted to get the podcast out there. Now, 12% own Anthony Miller of the Chicago Bears. So if you were listening to us last week and we recommended going out to get Anthony Miller, and he didn't have the blow-up production like he did this past week, but he did have double-digit targets in 2 weeks in a row. This past week, Anthony Miller had 13 targets. I'm pulling him up while I am speaking to you. And he went crazy on Thanksgiving. He had 24 PPR points, 13 targets, 9 catches for 140 yards. He didn't even get in the end zone. So Anthony Miller, if he's out there in your league, and it sounds like he might be, and you need a wide receiver, he's playable. Now, Taylor Gabriel was out with a concussion, so that helped. Now, if Taylor Gabriel's back, you have to be careful with Anthony Miller, but it looks like Anthony Miller may have cemented that number two role behind Allen Robinson. And if Taylor Gabriel's out, it certainly wheels up for our guy, Anthony Miller, who we definitely liked a lot coming out and just hasn't produced a ton consistently in this season. And, you know, he's been on and off the waiver wire, but for the fantasy playoffs, he's certainly in there. Okay. James Washington of the Pittsburgh Steelers has made two very big splash plays in a row, even with Duck Hodges. Pick him up. He's playable. I mean, even if you don't need a receiver, I'm picking up James Washington just to avoid my opponent from getting him, because I don't want to be on the other side of James Washington catching a 50-yard pass for a touchdown. So, and that's what we do sometimes also. We need to play virtual defense, and we need to block our opponents from picking these players up, so we pick them up. Obviously, you don't want that to drive every decision you make, but that's certainly a player in James Washington that I like a lot. Our scouting of him said that he was someone that could high point the ball, that can bully people out of the way. And those two big catches he's had over the last couple weeks were exactly that. They were him jumping up, high pointing the ball, out muscling, out wrestling the defense for the football. And he has scored. So James Washington is our number two priority. Looking down the list, did you play Cole Beasley at 28% owned on Thanksgiving? He won you your league, I'm sure. He won your week, I should say. Not your league, your week. So he's still out there in a lot of leagues. He's under 30% owned. Cole Beasley is certainly a live play. I wouldn't trust him week to week, but certainly has a high floor and proved in his revenge game in Dallas that he has a high ceiling too. So Cole Beasley's out there. I wouldn't necessarily rank him as my third receiver. I'm just looking down the list. Zach Pascal. Man, has he been a headache to own, but he went crazy again with over 100 yards and 7 catches. Zach Pascal, T.Y. Hilton, especially if he doesn't play, he's someone you certainly could use. And again, nobody really has any fab money left at the end here. So you're just talking about grabbing $0 guys. If you have a few bucks, you know, use them wisely of how you can put. I mean, I'm like, you know, in the beginning of this podcast, like in the first 10 weeks, we say put this percent of budget on it, or we recommend this percentage budget. At this point, it's just win or go home. So do what you need to do to get these players muscle in front of your teammates. A couple other players that I think are alive with the wide receiver position are Alan Lazard. He's had a couple good games. He had, I think it was 100. Let me check it now. I think he had over 100 yards. The thing I didn't like about Alan Lazard's game, let me see, I'm pulling it up. So Alan Lazard last week in that snowy New York game had, okay, he had 103 yards and a touchdown. So what I didn't like about the game, about his performance, was he only had 3 catches. Now, he caught all 3 of them, but you kind of want to see 7 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. You know, the 3 targets for the 3 catches, it's a little, you know, the floor is low, basically, because if he doesn't, you know, have this amazing productive day, then Alan Lazard is going to be rendered useless. Now, the wide receivers on Green Bay, for the number two wide receivers, have not stepped up. MVS and Allison have both been, I guess, bust, if you're, you know, for lack of a better term. So there is a space there for Alan Lazard to flourish. You know, he has to be in consideration in some deeper leagues to not only pick up, but maybe even start if you're starting like in a 3 receivers in a flex league, a lot of leagues that we play in here over at DFS Army. A couple other names that have low ownership. You know, I'm interested in Chris Connolly with Gardner Minshew back. Chris Connolly of the Jaguars, 21% owned. Russell Gage on Atlanta, 8% owned. Randall Cobb, just under 40% owned. And Auden Tate, now that Andy Dalton's back, at 13% owned. They're all people you could consider. A.J. Brown is on my list as well. But Ryan Tannehill is just always low target volume. So, you know, if you got to live and die on three or four targets, it's tough with A.J. Brown. He is going to be someone that I'm going to be pretty aggressive drafting next year, A.J. Brown, that is. So, but, you know, I mean, it could produce. He has certainly taken over Corey Davis as the number one wide receiver on that team. But, you know, it's someone that I'd be skeptical of starting just based on the low target volume. All right, if you've been listening to this podcast all season long, then you know we are sponsored by our friends at OverlayDFS.com. And I'm just going to bring up the screen for OverlayDFS. And you see here, this is a start-sit game where you pick from over 30 options they present to you, and you pick 12 of them. So here, you can see here, I'm in there. Oh, this is their head-to-head game that I clicked on. Okay, in the head-to-head game, you pick 10 matchups. So right here, you have Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes. And what you do is you select which one of these two players is going to have more fantasy points. So in this case, I'm going to select Patrick Mahomes. Next matchup is Aaron Rodgers versus Kirk Cousins. You select who you think is going to have more fantasy points. I click Aaron Rodgers. And you do this 10 times, and they give you 30 matchups to choose from. You choose 10 of them. And whoever has the best record in this contest wins the pool. So you really just have to, let's see, it says right here. This entry right here is the $11 entry. This is the one that I'm going to be in. So it's best record wins. Usually in any given week, 9-3 will get it done. 8-4 sometimes as well. Actually, most often 8-4, it says, that we can, our own Statsational has won this with even a 7-5 record one time. So, and that's in the where you pick 12 and the pick 10, you probably need just a little bit less. Check out our friends over at OverlayDFS.com and check out their progressive jackpots. All right, friends, we'll continue on here with the Waiver Wire podcast. We were up to the tight ends. Let me check here what we have. On my list of tight ends for Waiver Wire, I have Mike Gesicki at the top. He's only 15% owned. Mike Gesicki, I mean, he came into the league, you know, at DFS Army, we were pretty high on him as a rookie, and that, you know, didn't go well. I mean, rookie tight ends very rarely produce, but we just liked his prospect profile. I'm just pulling up in the last couple of weeks. So usually a tight end, you know, you're just hoping for something, a pulse, if you don't have one of the studs. But listen to these target numbers over the last 6 weeks for a tight end, for Mike Gesicki. 6-6-6-7-7. I mean, if you don't get seven targets, I would be shocked. Mike Gesicki, he's had a pretty decent high target floor. And last week he blew up for 5 catches, 79 yards and a touchdown. And Miami with Ryan Fitzpatrick there is one of these fun teams to watch. Mike Gesicki certainly headlines my tight end waiver wire list. And if you're in tight end premium, meaning you get a point and a half for PPR, I mean, you can't do better than that on the waiver wire, especially if you've been struggling with like an OJ Howard all year or somebody like that. Mike Gesicki, for some reason, is just being left on the waiver wire, and he's certainly a pickup for me. The other guy who was pretty obvious last week was Tyler Higbee. Tyler Higbee, he wasn't obvious in the first run of waivers. Gerald Everett was ruled out later in the week, and, you know, against the tight ends against Arizona, I mean, that was Higbee's setup right there. But also, they extended his contract, Higbee, about a month ago. And he's going to be involved in the offense. They proactively feature the tight end, the Rams. So Higbee is certainly someone that you should look into picking up right there. He's only about 6% owned. So he's likely out there in your league. In a couple of sharp leagues that I'm in, he was snagged up with the quickness on Sunday morning before kickoff. So I would certainly look into picking up Tyler Higbee. OJ Howard, you can try. I mean, it's always a dicey play. And then Kate Smith on the New York Giants, if you're totally desperate. Evan Ingram has been a total, you can't count on that guy to stay healthy at all. And he did a little damage last week as well. David Njoku on the Browns maybe come back. So those are some names to possibly look for. Jacob Hollister on Seattle is 50% owned, so I didn't mention him, but he would probably be the top He got you about 10 fantasy points last night. He's been good for a while, for a few weeks. It's amazing that he did nothing when he was on the Patriots, and that it took him coming to Seattle to perform. So that I always find that interesting when a guy leaves one team and then goes on another, and then all of a sudden they're just producing, you know, fantasy. It happens all the time. With our guy Kenyon Drake, it happened as well. All right, that covers the main three positions for one QB leagues, but quarterback-wise, let's see. Tannehill, 30% owned. Fitzpatrick, 8% owned. Andy Dalton, 6% owned. Kyle Allen, and of course, Gardner Minshew is back in play. I'm getting a lot of questions on the DFS Army Slack chat about Ryan Tannehill. And listen, the guy is produced for fantasy. There's no question about it. It's just the low target, attempts that concern me. And I'm getting questions like Dak Prescott or Tannehill. And I've been telling people, even with the bad matchup, to take Dak Prescott. Because when you look at Ryan Tannehill, I'm just looking at his attempts. Again, the guy is produced for fantasy. I'm not taking anything away from him. But the last 3 weeks, 22 attempts, passing attempts, 18 passing attempts, 19 passing attempts. It's, you know, he's been making his living on getting you 40 yards rushing on the ground. And again, he's been doing it. So I give him credit. But Tennessee's a run-first team in my fantasy playoffs where it's all on the line. And I have choices between Ryan Tannehill and another QB. And I know Ryan Tannehill's been producing, so it sounds crazy. I mean, last week, if you would have asked me that question, I might have told you the same thing, and I would have been totally wrong if you asked me Nick Foles or Ryan Tannehill. So I get it. We're not always going to be right here. Although we did tell people to beware of Nick Foles' benching risk. We did mention that in a couple different podcasts that even with the good matchup, Nick Foles at home. I live here in Jacksonville, Florida, so I know there was a groundswell for Gardner Minshew. The Boo Birds came early. The Jaguars were down early, and, of course, enter Minshew. So I like Tannehill. He's been producing, but just be careful with those low pass attempts. That's never a good sign. All right, if streaming defenses wise, I mean, this is the time to stack up, look ahead. You should have been doing that 2-3 weeks ago into your playoff matchups. Cincinnati's not really a pushover matchup anymore, especially with Andy Dalton there. Whoever's playing the Redskins is always a good matchup. I mean, you want to target some of these backup quarterbacks. If someone's playing Pittsburgh, you know, that's always a good matchup. But this would be my advice heading into with the matchups. Don't overrate matchups. I know, you know, and don't overrate weather either. Okay. So when you're looking at your matchups and you're agonizing over which player to start and it's a 60-40 proposition or 55-45, don't agonize. Just pick the better player. All right. That would be my advice. And you know what? Make it your decision. Now, I have no problem answering these questions. I have no problem giving my opinion. But at the end of the day, make it your decision. You, if you're listening to this podcast, you have the knowledge. I'm just doing some of the research for you that's out there, and I'm compiling it. I'm giving you my analysis. But at the end of the day, you're a smart player. You know what you're doing. You've been playing fantasy for a while. And if you're new to this, that's fine. You're going to have, the only way to learn is by making mistakes. And God knows I've made a million of them. I keep making them. I've been playing fantasy for as long as I can remember. And I still make mistakes. It's the only way to learn. And you can just reapply those mistakes to the next decision you make. So again, the takeaway, you guys did a great job. You're in your fantasy playoffs, but just don't overrate weather. Don't overrate matchups. At the extreme, sure, you have to take into account. If it's freezing sideways rain and 30-mile-an-hour winds, you may want to avoid that matchup. But only at the super margins does that matter. Okay, everybody? All right. I am at Alan Sislowski, Season Long Says. I'm happy that you made your playoffs and that you're picking up these guys. And if there's a player I missed that you want to ask me about, you can tweet at me at Alan Sislowski, or on the Slack chat, you can get me at Season Long Says. And this is a good time. I want to remind everybody to join DFS Army if you're listening to this on the public feed. And you could join DFS Army or our newest venture, which is Beat the Bookie, which is great models for sports bettors. And you can use promo code SAYS. All right. I'm looking. Some people signed on. For those of you listening on the audio cast, we also do a video cast. So it's sometimes the comments come across and they get a little distracting. But so remember now to join Beat the Bookie. Okay. And Beat the Bookie is a place where our expert sports bettor, our coaches, who have just been crushing it. Last night, all the super touts were on Minnesota. Our staff at Beat the Bookie was pushing Seattle. And if you took that, you already made your money back from your from your first month. All right. So use promo code SAYS, join Beat the Bookie. And we will see you next time on the Waiver Wire podcast for next week. We will see you tomorrow for the Geeks Vegas Lines. Tune back in tomorrow around 4:30. And we will have the Geek, our founder and chief. And we'll have Statsational, John Alessia. And we're going to go over all of the DFS slate. Until then, may all your players stay healthy. And I hope you bring home the championship for DFS Army, folks. Bye-bye.